Come on, Dorothy. Up you get. No snoozing, please. Ooh. Proverbs 6:9. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
A Clergyman's Daughter by George Orwell. Adapted for radio by John Peacock. With Amanda Redman as Dorothy.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever.
Communion. Mrs. T, baby, must visit. Must ask father, money. Helen? Must ask Helen what stuff she puts in father's tonic. More glue. Breakfast bacon. Please, God, let not Cargill send his bill again today.
Come in, come in. Jeez,
where am I?
Good morning, Father.
I do, Dorothy.
You would make some effort to get Ellen out of bed in the mornings, or else be a little more punctual yourself.
I'm sorry, Father. The kitchen fire kept going out.
Very well. Put that down on the dressing table. Put it down and draw those curtains.
Yes. Cargill. Oh, no. Cargill's bill. I'm afraid I'm a bit late, Father.
Yes, Dorothy, you are a bit late. You were 12 minutes late, to be exact.
I'm so sorry. I had to go and see Mrs. Tawney. Her baby was born last night. I think everything's here, Father. Perhaps if you'd just say grace.
Benedictus benedicat. Bacon again, I see.
It's all we've got in the house, I'm afraid.
I know, of course, that bacon for breakfast is an English institution, almost as old as parliamentary government. But still, don't you think we might occasionally have a change, Dorothy?
Bacon's so cheap now.
Ah, Danish, I suppose. What a variety of Danish invasions we've had in this country. First with fire and sword, and now with their abominable cheap bacon. Which has been responsible for more deaths, I wonder.
Father.
What is it?
There's something I want to ask you. Something important.
Now, my dear Dorothy, I know very well what you're going to say. You're going to ask me for money again. Is that it?
Yes, Father, because, you see,
I may as well save you the trouble. I have no money at all until next quarter. You've had your allowance for the housekeeping, and I can't give you a halfpenny more. It's quite useless to come worrying me now.
But, Father, we can't possibly go on...
Please, miss.
Yes, Ellen.
Please, miss. Mr. Porter's in the kitchen and he says, please, could the rector come round and baptise Mrs. Porter's baby because they don't think as it's going to live the day out and it ain't been baptised yet, miss.
Sit down.
But... What do you think is the matter with the baby?
Well, miss, it's turning quite black and it's had the diarrhoea, something cruel.
Must I have these disgusting details while I'm eating my breakfast? Send Porter about his business and tell him I'll be round at his house at 12 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
I really cannot think why it is that the lower classes always seem to choose meal times to come pestering me.
Father, please listen to me. I must have some money soon. We can't go on as we are doing. We owe money to nearly every tradesman in town. It's got so that some mornings I can hardly bear to go down the street. Do you know that we owe Cargill's the butcher nearly £22?
What of it?
But the bill's been mounting up for 7 months. We must pay it. It isn't fair to keep him waiting for his money like that.
Nonsense. These people expect to be kept waiting for their money. They like it. It brings them more in the end.
But, Father, I can't look at it as you do. I can't. Surely we can get hold of the money somehow.
My dear child, yesterday I had the most disagreeable news from my broker. He tells me that my Sumatra tin shares have dropped from 7 and 4 pence to 6 and a penny. It means a loss of nearly £60. I shall have to sell at once.
Then we'll have some money.
I shall have to reinvest instantly in something more hopeful. It's the only way of getting my money back. I shall buy 500 United Celanese.
I don't seem to be able to get you to see how serious things are. We've simply nothing to live on for the next month. I don't even know where the meat's coming for today's dinner.
Luncheon, Dorothy, luncheon.
For luncheon, then.
I do wish you'd drop that abominable lower-class habit of calling the midday meal dinner.
Where are we going to get the meat from? I daren't ask Cargill for another joint.
Go to the other butcher. What's his name? Salter. Good gracious, I don't know what all this fuss is about. My cousin Sir Tom owed 7,000 before he came into his money. He told me so himself.
You're absolutely certain you can't let me have any money, Father?
The Lord will provide.
Matthew 6:25.
1 shilling, please, Mrs. Semple.
Thank you, Mr. Cargill. Oh, Warburton's home from his travels, I see. Came back sometime last night. And there's Dorothy Eyre across the street.
Where?
Talking to the verger. I just had a word with her about Molly Freeman, one of her best girl guides, she says. As though that excused everything. She ought to have a word with the young men at the sugar beet refinery. Here we are. Do you know what she had the innocence to tell me? She said there was enough evil in the world without me looking for it. Shilling, you said? Looking for it, as though one ever needed to look. The trouble is one can't help seeing all the dreadful wickedness that goes on in this town.
Yes. Thank you, Mrs. Semple.
Oh, speak of the devil. There's Warburton. She's talking to him now.
Good heavens, it's Dorothy. How are you? By Jove, what need is there to ask? You look more bewitching than ever.
Please don't do that, Mr. Warburton. I don't like it.
My dear Dorothy, who could resist pinching an elbow like yours?
When did you get back?
Day before yesterday. But only on a flying visit. Off again tomorrow. Taking the kids to Brittany. The bastards, you know. Cargill's got his eye on you, by the look of it.
What?
Outside his shop.
I really must be getting on. I've got ever such a lot of shopping to do.
No, wait. Who do you think I've got coming to dinner tonight? Bewley. Ronald Bewley, the novelist. You've read him, of course.
No, I'm afraid I haven't. In fact, I've never heard of him.
My dear Dorothy, you have been neglecting yourself. Hot stuff. Real high-class pornography. Just the thing you need to take the taste of the girl guides out of your mouth.
I do wish you wouldn't say such things.
I'm sure Cargill's trying to attract your attention.
I can't think why. I must go.
But why don't you join us?
I can't possibly. I've got Father's supper to see to and thousands of other things.
Well, come along after dinner, then. Do you good to escape from the church hen coop for a few hours.
Are you sure Mr. Bewley is coming?
Quite sure. And his wife. No Tarquin and Lucrece business.
I must be going.
Not till you've given me a reply.
All right. Thank you very much. I'll come round. About 8:30, I expect.
Ow!
Keep still, Percy. I'm trying to pin this together.
Oh, put a bit of life into it, can't you? Say it as if you mean something. Right. What's the good of gurgling it down in your inside like that? Stand up and then shout it.
Oh, can I go? No, not yet.
Come on now. Come on. Enter Oliver Cromwell. Oh, that's you.
Please, miss. Mother said as I was to tell you.
No, not like that. Do you think Oliver Cromwell would come slinking on like a dog that's had a hiding? Stand up! Look, stick your chest out! Scowl! Oh, that's better!
Please, Miss Mother said as I was to tell you she couldn't make my knickers like she promised, Miss.
Oh, for goodness sake, Percy, keep still! You'll make me swallow a pin if you do that again.
Alt, I hold a pistol in my hand.
No, Tommy, not alt, it's halt.
Damn, I need more glue. I was thinking, Victor, we might make these helmets out of old bowler hats if we can get hold of enough of them. Cut the brims off, put on paper brims of the right shape, and silver them over.
Oh, Lord, why do you worry ahead about such things?
It's those wretched jackboots that are worrying me the most.
Oh, bother the jackboots. Stop thinking about the play for a moment.
I want you to speak to your father for me. Ask him whether we can't have a procession sometime next month.
Another procession? What for?
Oh, I don't know. There's a nativity for the Blessed Virgin coming up on the 8th. That's good enough for a procession. I've got a splendid rousing hymn that we can all bellow. And perhaps we could borrow the blue banner with the Virgin Mary on it from St. Vedekind's in Milborough.
He'll only say no. He doesn't approve.
Oh, you'd think we're a Baptist chapel or something from the way we go on. I never saw such dead-alive services as we have here. What's the matter? Processions are such fun for everybody. Down the aisle, out through the west door, back through the south door, choir carrying candles behind and Boy Scouts in front with their banner. Hail thee, festival day, blessed day, thou art hallowed forever.
Yes, but you know how Father dislikes that kind of thing.
Well, if I had my way, I'd have a couple of boys swinging jolly good censers of incense at the same time.
Especially when it's anything to do with the Virgin Mary. Remember the hymn you chose at Advent?
Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, full of grace.
He said that to hear the rustics bawling, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, made him think he was in the four ale bar of the Dog and Bottle.
Oh, dash it, Dorothy. Your father always puts his foot down when I try to get a bit of life into a service. He won't allow us incense or decent music or proper vestments. And what's the result? We can't get enough people to fill the church a quarter full, even on Easter Sunday. Look round the church on Sunday morning. It's nothing but Boy Scouts, Girl Guides, and a few old women. The church is dying in Knype Hill. Faith is dying.
What time is it, Victor?
It's 4:15.
I must go and get some food ready.
Dorothy, please ask your father.
He'll only get annoyed and say it's Roman fever.
You ought to have been a nonconformist. You really ought. A Plymouth brother or Plymouth sister or whatever it's called. I think your favourite hymn must be number 567. Oh, my God, I fear thee, thou art very high.
Yours is 2-3-1. I nightly pitch my moving ten to day's march nearer Rome.
Oh, please, Dorothy.
Roman fever.
Meanwhile, there's no faith left in Knype Hill.
Will it always be like this, Victor?
What?
A clergyman's daughter. I'll ask him, but I'm sure he'll say no.
Hail thee, festival day, blessed day, thou art hallowed forever.
Oh, there you are, miss.
Baby Porch is dead. We commend to thy gracious keeping, O merciful Lord, all thy servants departed this life. In thy faith and fear grant them thy peace, and in thy loving wisdom work in them the good purpose of thy perfect will.
But, dear Dorothy, you don't seriously mean to tell me that at your age, 27, I believe, and with your intelligence, you still retain your religious beliefs in toto?
Of course I do. You know I do. Not telling lies, Mr. Warburton, is one of them.
What? Oh, the Bewleys. How else could I get you here unchaperoned for an hour? Come on now. All that nonsense that you learned at your mother's knee. Surely you're not going to pretend to me that you still believe in it. The rural dean's wife isn't listening, and I won't give the show away.
I don't know what you mean by all that nonsense.
Well, let's take an instance. Something particularly hard to swallow. Hell, for example. Do you believe in hell? And when I say believe, mind you, I mean, do you believe in it literally? Do you believe in hell as you believe in Australia?
Yes, of course I do.
What always makes me suspicious of you religious people is that you're so damned cold-blooded about your beliefs. It shows a very poor imagination, to say the least of it. Here I am, an infidel and blasphemer, neck deep in at least 6 out of the 7 deadly, bastards everywhere, and obviously doomed to eternal torment. There's no knowing, Dorothy, that in an hour's time I mayn't be roasting in the hottest part of hell, and yet you can sit there talking to me as calmly as though I'd nothing the matter with me. Now, if I'd merely got cancer or leprosy or some other bodily ailment, you'd be quite distressed about it. Whereas when I'm going to sizzle on the grid through eternity, you seem positively unconcerned.
I never said you were going to hell.
You know, I've a sort of feeling that even now, after knowing me 2 years, you've still half an idea you can make a convert of me, don't you?
Well...
You've a hopeful nature. But aren't you afraid by any chance that I might convert you? The dog it was that died, you may remember.
I am unshakable in my beliefs.
Oh.
I cannot imagine my life without faith.
You should learn to spread your wings a little, Dorothy. Not worry so much. You don't know the world, or you wouldn't be so afraid of it.
Without my faith, there would be nothing left.
Is that why you hang on to it? Is your life so dreadful? My dear, you should stop doing things for God and start doing them for Dorothy Hare.
What time is it? Do you know?
I dare say it might be 10:30. But people like you and I don't talk of such vulgar subjects at the time.
If it's 10:30, then I really must be going. I've got a whole lot of work to do before I go to bed.
Work at this time of night? Impossible.
Yes, I have. I've got to make a pair of jackboots.
You've got to make a pair of what?
Of jackboots. For the play the school children are acting in. We make them out of glue and brown paper.
What a life you lead. Messing about with glue and brown paper in the middle of the night. I must say, there are times when I feel glad that I'm not a clergyman's daughter.
I think... Please take your hands off my shoulders.
Now, don't go and turn around. You don't seem to realize how tactful it was on my part to approach you from behind your back. If you turn round, you'll see that I'm old enough to be your father and hideously bald into the bargain. But if you'll only keep still and not look at me, you can imagine I'm Ivan Avello. Ah, there, you see, you've spoilt it.
I do so wish you wouldn't do that.
What is the matter with you? What is the matter with you?
Why must you do that every time I meet you?
Well, every time I meet you is an exaggeration. It's really very seldom I get the opportunity. If you truly don't like it.
Of course I don't like it. You know I don't like it.
Well, let's say no more about it.
How could you?
Easily, my child. Easily. You'll understand that when you get to my age.
I want to go now. I can't stay any longer.
I'm leaving first thing tomorrow. Eastern Europe.
How nice.
I'm going to take the car to town and pick up the kids. The bastards, you know. And then, France. I shall be away 6 months or more, and, of course, I needn't ask before so long a parting whether you want to kiss me goodbye.
Let me go. Do let me go.
But I don't want to let you go, Dorothy.
We are standing right in front of Mrs. Semprel's window.
Oh, good God.
She'll see us absolutely for certain.
I can't see a light anywhere. With any luck, the blasted hag hasn't seen us.
Goodbye. This time I really must go. Give my regards to the children. Why can't they leave you alone? Penance, Dorothy. Penance. No bacon. Costumes. Costumes. Oh, Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we pray thee to guide us and... Come on, Dorothy. No wandering. Still. Keep awake. Now. Luke 9:62.
Benedictus Benedicat.
Cargill. Oh no, Cargill's bill.
The Lord will provide.
Please don't do that, Mr. Warburton. I don't like it.
The church is dying in my pill. Faith is dying.
Baby Porch is dead. I cannot imagine my life.
What is the matter with you? What's the matter with you?
Let me go. Do let me go.
Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, our Father, our Father, our Father, our Father, our Father.
climb upon my knee, sunny boy. Sunny boy. You are only free, sunny boy.
That's heart
you've
looks
no
ill.
Way of knowing.
Snobby look.
There's no way of showing.
Who?
What Mama. You mean to me. She ain't ill. On the beach all right, though.
Just right for you, Nobby.
Oh, you? Oi. Don't be so saucy.
Hey, come on, Nobby. Let's get moving. It's 2:30 already. We don't want to miss the bleeding tram.
Where'd they start from?
The elephant.
Hello, kid. On the beach, eh?
What?
On the beach, on the bum.
Oh, Christ, she's batty. Come on, Charlie. Yeah.
Well, what I mean to say by that, kid, is, have you any money or are you like us on the beach?
I don't know. I believe... Yes, I've got a penny.
That's not a penny, that's 0.5 crown. Huh. Now, that's the Mulligatawny. We're in cahoots, Charlie, Flo and me. Off hop him. We've struck it lucky and so are you, kid.
Shut up, Nobby. She don't understand a word of what you're saying. Talk to her proper.
That'll do, Flo. Keep it shut and leave her talking to me. I got away with tarts, I have. What might your name happen to be, kid?
Ellen.
Ellen. That's the ticket. No surnames when you're on the bum. Comrades all, shoulder to shoulder. You listen to me, Ellen. As I said, us three are going down hopping, see?
Hopping?
Hopping! Picking hops down in Kent. Can understand that, can't ya?
Oh, hops. For beer. Hops.
That's more like it. Coming on fine, she is, isn't you, Ellen? Only we're just a bit in the Mulligatawny, see? Because we ain't got a farthing between us. We've got to do it on the Toby. 35 miles, that is. We got a tap for our Tommy and Skipper at nights as well, and that is a bit of extra Mulligatawny, what with the ladies in the party. But now, suppose, for instance, you was to come along with us, see? We could take the Tupney tram far as Bromley. That's 15 miles done. We won't need Skipper more than one night on the way. And you could chum our bin, thought to have been the best picking with hops. And if we get tuppence a bushel, you'll turn your 10 bob a week easy. Your tuna tanner won't do much good here in the old Kent Road, but you go into partnership with us, and you'll get your kit for a month with something over. And we'll get a lift to Bromley and a bit of scran as well. How about it, kid? Are you on or are you off? What do you say?
What is scran?
Scran? Tommy, food. Oh, I can see you ain't been long on the beach, kid. Don't have to tell me nothing about yourself, kid. Just how you're feeling. How you feeling?
I'm feeling all right.
Come on, blokes. Pick your Peter up, Charlie. Next stop. Da-da. Was all the band could play.
Oh,
so am I.
I've got to rest me feet.
Well, we can't skip her here, can we? We said we was going to walk as far as Sevenoaks.
Oh, sod Sevenoaks. We're any other bleating place. Don't make no bleating difference to me where I put my head down.
We want to get a job tomorrow, don't we? Well, come on. We'll hit the orchard soon. Get some apples. Good skipper. Got to get to the farms before we can look for a job. We'll be in Wales tomorrow. Excuse me, Ellen. I've got to attend to my bloody hoof again. This now's a Mulligatawny. There. That bugger's in his grave. Climb up on my knee, sunny boy. You are only free, sunny boy. There's no way of knowing. Hey, hey, look over there.
Aye.
Taters everywhere. Ooh, come, Doc, we can get some taters. There's no way of showing. I had a son, Ellen. Widower I am. Widower. Got married when I was 18. Wife had a kiddie on the way, you see. Always one with the tarts, I was. So, we got wed. She dies having the kiddie. He lived a bit, but well, not healthy.
Oh.
Just as well he's gone. Not having no mother, eh? What you mean to me, sunny boy?
Coxes. We all like Coxes, do we? Coxes coming down.
This ain't bleeding up in, Charlie.
You see, we get to Wow tomorrow. There'll be nobody there, and we'll get a job.
It's always tomorrow.
Get some meat, eh, kid? Nice bit of bacon. You warm, Ellen? A lot of fire, so you're warm. Could get your chickens. I have a way with chickens. Bacon, that's something else. We'll get work tomorrow. Nobody knows about Wow. That's the Mulligan Tawny.
You'd best go down and have a try at Chalmers. Now, that's about 5 miles from here. I've heard tell as Chalmers wants a dozen or so pickers still.
5 miles? Christ.
I dare say he'd give you a job if you get there early enough.
Ain't there nothing nearer than that?
If this is bloody hopping, I've had a bloody belly full.
Well, there's Norman. I got a job at Norman's myself. I'm starting tomorrow morning. But it wouldn't be no use for you to try at Norman's. He ain't taking on none but home pickers. And they say as he's going to let half his hops blow.
What's home pickers?
Why, David's got homes of their own. Now, either you got to live in the neighbourhood, or else the farmer has got to give you a hut to sleep in. Now, in the old days, when you came down hopping, you kept in a stable and there was no questions asked. But then bloody interfering gets of a Labour government brought in a law to say as no pickers was to be brought on without the farmer had proper accommodation for them. So Norman only takes on folks who's got homes of their own.
Well, you ain't got home of your own, have you?
Oh, bloody fear, but Norman thinks I have. I kidded him. I was staying in a cottage nearby. Now, between you and me, I'm skippering in a cow buyer. It ain't so bad, except for the stink of the muck. But you got to be out by 5 in the morning, else the cowman would catch you.
We ain't got no experience of hopping. I wouldn't have bloody hop if I saw one. Best to let on you're an old hand when you go out for a job, eh?
Hell, hops don't need no experience. Tear them off and fling them in the bin.
You see that paper, Flo? Secret life of rector's daughter, startling revelations.
That's all there is to it with hops.
Wish I had as a penny to have a read of that.
What's it all about then?
What? Didn't you read about it? Papers have been as full of it. Rector's daughter this and rector's daughter that. Wasn't all smutty some of it too?
Oh, she's a bit of hop stuff, the old rector's daughter. Wish she was here now. I know what I'd do with her, all right, I would.
It was a kid thrown away from home, and she was carrying on with a man 20 years older than herself, and the searching for her high and low.
Jacked off in the middle of the night in a motor car.
There's some think as he's took her abroad and sold her to one of them flash cat houses in Paris.
Dirty tot she must have been.
What's a rector, you mean?
And him bald and all. Oh, it is terrible.
Rector? Why, sky pilot, parson bloke. Bloke that preaches and gives out hymns and that in church. We passed one of them yesterday riding a green bicycle. Had his collar on back to front. A priest. Clergyman, you know.
Priests. Bloody old guesses they are too, some of them. With a gold cross round her neck, you'd think she knew what a rector was.
Bugger the farms. We never get work. I wish I never heard of bloody Alps.
All right, kid.
Yes.
I wasn't brought up to this hiking and skipping like you was. I'm fed up. That's what I am, bloody fed up.
All right. Oh, God.
Charlie! Charlie!
Oh, come on, Ellen. It's no good. They've scarped or taken the haversacks with them. Rain's not so bad, though.
There she is, my old girl. There he is, my old pal, and here I am, broken-hearted. Mine in May is in June, she forgot mighty soon. Oh, dear, excuse me, Kit. I've got to attend to this bloody oof again. Oh. Us next, Ellen.
No more kiddies. You two together?
Yep.
Right you are. You'll do. Start in the morning, bin number 7, set 19. Camp's down there, bottom of the field. Women's hut on the left, man's on the right.
Nice fires, eh? Tin huts, you're over there. You all right, Ellen?
I'm all right.
And mind how you go, and I'll wait here to see you in.
doing? Get off it.
Sorry.
Who asked you to go walking about on my belly?
I'm sorry.
Stupid. Hello, girl. Just about all in, ain't ya?
Yes, I'm very tired. Very tired.
Well, you're bloody freezing this straw with no bedclothes on ya. Ain't you got a blanket?
No.
Up and mow them. Oh. I got a sack here. That's more like it.
One bushel. Two.
Three.
Look how the beggar's ramming them down.
Four.
Should be five.
Why don't you bloody well stamp on them?
Five.
Come on, Ellen. Let's have some scran. I got a cottage loaf. Always get a cottage loaf, because when you do that, it's like having two, isn't it?
Here, what is it the cleverest man in England can't do?
I don't know, what?
Tickle a gnat's arse with a telegraph pole.
Here, do you hear that, Ellen?
Please, Ellen. Mother says as she was just going to throw this stew away, and then she thought as perhaps you might like it. She ain't got no use for it, she says, and so you'd be doing her a kindness.
Thank you.
Here, Ellen. Want to read of this? Look. Pippin's Weekly. Passion drama in country rectory. Eh? Photograph and all. Have a look at it later, eh? Guess what I got for tonight?
What?
Have a way with chickens. Look.
Nubby!
Seized upon the midnight with no pain.
Where'd you get it?
Same place I've got these apples. You know, Ellen, after the missus died, I went mad. I went bloody mad, kid, I tell you. Wears you down, something like that. And you stop caring. That's the Mulliga Tawny. Wish I could forget. Wipe it from the mind, like. Can't see much out of this eye, you know. Not a lot. Invalided out the army with it. Got into Ballstall, you know. Swish. Tell you what I did one day, Ellen. I come out of Ballstall, like, and I got some nitroglycerin. Three of us. Boom! Louder than that thunder we heard. Blew in the safe door at Woodward's boot and shoe factory. Cleared 125 quid. I spent it all in 3 weeks. Prison then. And Nick if I ever get caught for anything again. I'll tell you any more. You won't want to know, Nobby, eh? Young lady like yourself. Listen. Diarrhea of the mouth. I could do with some lessons from you, kid.
I do want to tell you about me, Nobby, but I...
Tell me when you're ready, Ellen, eh? Might be no good before then.
I can't imagine I've ever been happier than with you.
Don't you know? Look at me, Ellen. Let me hold you, Ellen. Please. Let me hold you.
Happens every year. Chicken and apples. Well, let's stop them before they're all at it. How many men have you brought?
These five men can handle it.
We'll go down to the camp.
All right.
Keep tight.
And you, Nobby. Nobby, what is the Mulliga Tawny?
When there are grey skies, I don't mind the grey skies.
Shut up!
I
Look at that poor bugger. Bloody shame.
Always got to put the blameless bloody up pickers. Can't lose a bloody apple with that assassin's ticket.
There were four on him, and that's the four, and he led him.
Nobby!
Oh, let him off. Give him a warning.
Shut up,
Tanya. Hey, suppose they were your bloody apples. Your chicken, eh? Chickens are my living. Wouldn't you bloody well do something about it? Bloody hoppers. It's not worth having bloody hops, I'll tell you that for nothing.
Now then, young man. Just yawn up and tell us who else was involved, who you shared this lot out with, and we'll take it into consideration. Mr. Cairns wants this thieving stopped once and for all.
That's right.
So, let this be a reminder to every one of you, what happens to thieves? Now, young man, are you going to tell us who you shared this lot with? And if you do, I dare say we'll take it into consideration.
Consideration, your arse.
Don't you give none of your lip, else you'll catch it all the other when you go up before that magistrate.
Catch it all up your arse.
Nobby!
What's up with her? Let her be. Only natural. I mean, you know. What?
No.
Nobby's tart. Eileen.
Come on, Dorothy. No snoozing. Proverbs 6:9. Dorothy Hare.
Eileen, what is it?
The Pippin's Weekly. Mrs. Bendigo, did you see it?
Oh, it's right here, dear. Thought you finished with it.
Oh, yes.
Better get down the bins. Get yourself a new bin, mate.
Yes, Mrs. Bendigo. Parson's daughter and elderly seducer.
What's the game? You will?
No.
Well, why aren't you picking then? What do you think this is? Toff's picnic? You don't come up here to sit about doing nothing, you know.
You cheese it and don't get nagging of her. Can't the poor girl have a bit of peace and quiet if she wants it? Ain't her bloke in the clink, thanks to you and your bloody nosing pals of coppers. She's got enough to worry about that, being buggered about by every bloody copper's knock in Kent.
That'll be enough from you. I'll find somebody else for her to bin with.
Dearest Father, I can't tell you how glad I am after everything that has happened to be able to write to you again. And I do hope that you have not been too anxious about me or too worried by those horrible stories in the newspapers. I don't know what you must have thought when I suddenly disappeared like that and you didn't hear from me, but you see, I don't know even now how things came about. If you could possibly send me £2 for my fare home and some clothes.
Please write to the post office here. I am known as Ellen Milborough.
Cup of tea, Rector.
Ellen.
Yes, Rector. Did you want something?
No. No. Thank you, Ellen.
You better be picking all you can, Ellen. It won't be long before he lets him blow. Oh! Reckon this'll be our last field before they puts us in the bins. You writing? Who's writing? Get ready for it, Ellen. What?
Any minute now, they'll call the blow and bin the gals.
Let them blow! Pull them in the bins!
Have you a room, please?
Don't take single girls.
Just for a night?
Try Mary's. Well in court. Just off the cup.
£10 to Friday. Number 9 at the back. Thank you.
Hello, dearie.
Hello.
You new here? Which room you in?
Number 9.
God, ain't that a bloody dungeon? You going out tonight?
No, I don't think so. I'm so tired.
Thought you wasn't when I saw you hadn't dolled up. Ain't on the beach, are you?
No. Not on the beach.
Not spoiling the ship for Ape of the Tar. Because, for instance, if you want the lend of a lipstick, you only got to say the word. All chums here, you know.
Oh, no, thank you.
Time we was moving on, Lil. Got a important business engagement in Leicester Square.
Treat to have a good night's kip, eh? Once in a while.
It's all right when you can afford it.
Ta-ta, dearie. Sleep tight.
Bye.
Dear Father, I have no money and no food. I will not disgrace you by coming to Knipe Hill, but I do need help. Please. Please.
There's no bacon, Ellen. What's the matter?
The butcher, sir. Mr. Cargill won't let us have anything else until we settle with him, finance-wise, he says.
Nonsense.
He won't, sir.
Come to see me this afternoon. I'll get some money for you.
Yes, sir.
I shall be cashing some shares anyway.
Got your 10 bob, dear?
No, I...
Out then, dear. Out.
In the days of my innocence, before the devil carried me into a high place and dropped me...
Soon as I set eyes on you, I knew as you were...
With my willy, willy, willy.
A lady born and bred.
With my willy, willy, willy.
Happy days, happy days. Ivy Church.
With my willy, willy, willy.
Under the sheltering hillside.
Called himself a bloody husband. £4 a week.
With my willy, willy.
And his wife doing a starry on the embankment.
Deafy.
With my willy, willy.
Put it away. Seen things like that kept in a bottle at the hospital.
There they go, in their joy. Happy girl, lucky boy.
It looked like 2 penneth apiece is after I've swiped him with a bloody flat iron.
Happy girl, lucky boy.
Get off me bad leg, can't you?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
But here I am, broken.
Oh, God.
Hearted.
Amen. Evil from us deliver, but temptation into not us lead.
Look here, Blythe. You've seen all this stuff in the papers, huh? This rector's daughter, niece, and I.
Sir Thomas's cousin, not his niece.
What? That's right, whatever she is. I had a letter from her father. It's about time he got hold of the damn girl, knocked a bit of sense into her. Yes. Get hold of her before there's any more trouble. She's kicking about somewhere in London, penniless, I believe. What's the best way of getting on her track? Police? Private detectives and all that, is it?
It could be possible, perhaps, to find the young lady without calling in the police.
Ah, good man. Get to it, then. Never mind what it costs, and for God's sake, once you've got her, don't let her out of your sight. Bring her back to the house, instance a companion to an old lady. How would you like that, eh? Some dear old girl, you know, black mittens and rheumatoid arthritis. Die and leave you 10,000 quid in care of the palace, what?
I'd rather be a housemaid or housekeeper, if possible. I know about that.
Yes, Kibby. Well, a girl of your upbringing? Oh, no, my dear, no. Can't do that kind of thing. I think you have just the kind of face a schoolmistress ought to have.
A schoolmistress? But I couldn't possibly. I'm sure no one would give me a job. There isn't a single subject I can teach.
What? What's that? Can't teach? Oh, dash it, of course you can. Where's the difficulty?
But I don't know enough. I've never taught anybody anything except cooking to the girl guides. You have to be properly qualified to be a teacher.
Oh, nonsense. Teaching's the easiest thing in the world. Good thick ruler, rap them over the knuckles. Well, somebody will be glad to get hold of a decently brought up young woman to teach the youngsters the ABC, yes. You're just cut out for it. Besides, my dear, what else is there?
Welcome to Ringwood House Academy for Girls. I hope you and me are going to get on well together, Miss Milborough. And I hope I'm not going to have the same nasty business with you as I had with my last assistant. You say you haven't had any experience of teaching before this?
Not in a school.
Well, we shall see. I must say it's not easy to get hold of good, hard-working assistants nowadays. You give them good wages and good treatment and you get no thanks for it. The last one I had, well, the one I've just had to get rid of, Miss Strong, wasn't so bad as far as the teaching part went. In fact, she was a BA, and I don't know what you can have better than a BA, unless it's an MA. You don't happen to be a BA or an MA, do you, Miss Milborough?
No, I'm afraid not.
Well, that is a pity. It looks so much better on the prospectus if you've got a few letters after your name. Can you talk French?
Well, I've learned French.
Oh, that's all right, then. Just so as we can put it down. Well, now, to get back to what I was saying, Miss Strong was all right as a teacher, but she didn't come up to my ideas on what I call the moral side at Ringwood House. It's what counts most with the parents, you'll find. We've just got 21 in the class just at present, and you'll find they need a strong hand to keep them down.
You don't teach yourself, Miss Creevy?
Oh, dear, no. I've got too much on my hands to waste my time teaching. There's the house to look after, and 7 of the children stay to dinner. Besides, it takes me all my time getting the fees out of the parents. After all, the fees are what matter. Aren't they?
Yes, I suppose so.
Well, I expect you're ready to see your room. You'll have had your tea long ago, of course.
Yes.
This is your room, and I hope you'll keep it a bit tidier than Miss Strong used to. And don't go burning the gas half the night, please, because I can tell what time you turn it off by the crack under the door. I hope you're fond of fried eggs for your breakfast.
Oh, yes, thank you.
I always think that a fried egg tastes a lot better if you cut it well up before you eat it. Just take a look at that list of girls' names I've got ready for you. You'll have to learn those 3 lists by heart and make sure you know which girls are on which list. Because I don't want you to go thinking that all the girls are to be treated alike. They aren't. Not by a long way.
No, Miss Creevy.
Now, the parents of that first lot are what I call the good payers. Cash on the nail and no jibbing at an extra half guinea or so now and again. You're not to smack any of that lot, not on any account. This lot over here are the medium payers. Their parents do pay up sooner or later, but you don't get the money unless you worry them for it night and day. You can smack that lot if they get saucy. The last three are the bad payers. Their fathers are two terms behind already, and I'm thinking of solicitor's letters. I don't care what you do to that lot, well, short of a police case, naturally. You must take that book with you and just keep your eye on it all the time so as there'll be no mistakes. We start at 9 with a prayer that I composed myself. You shall read it tomorrow.
Almighty and everlasting Father, we beseech thee that our studies this day may be graced by thy divine guidance. Make us to conduct ourselves quietly and obediently. Look upon our school and make it prosper, so that it may grow in numbers and be a good example to the neighbourhood and not a disgrace like some schools of which thou knowest, O Lord. Make us, we beseech thee, O Lord, industrious, punctual, and ladylike, and worthy in all respects to walk in thy ways. For Jesus Christ's sake, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now, girls, as you know, Miss Strong had to leave us all of a sudden after she was taken ill so bad in the middle of the arithmetic lesson. This is your new teacher, Miss Milbrough. I'll leave you to get on with your history lesson.
So, then, what period exactly were you studying under Miss Strong? Well, whereabouts had you got to? Well, surely you remember something about it. Tell me the names of some of the people you were learning about in your last history lesson.
It was about the ancient Britons, miss.
Good!
Columbus.
Napoleon.
Passez-moi le beurre, s'il vous plaît.
Good! Now, who can tell me what that means? What has Jane just said?
We learned the words, miss. But we don't know what they mean.
Yes, Anne?
Le fil de jardinier a perdu son chapeau.
Now when girlish April is tripping through the land, when the buds are chanting gaily on the boughs, and the dainty flowers...
Night, Mrs. Milbrough.
Good night, girls.
3 shillings. 3 and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pence, 4 and 5 pence. Halfpenny, 3 farthings. 4 and 5 pence, 3 farthings.
Not enough, Dorothy. And 1 gold crucifix. Matthew 6:25, Dorothy. The Lord will provide.
Lights, Miss Milbrough.
Yes, Miss Creevy. Give these books out, Jane.
What's that, miss?
Plasticine Victoria. Instead of just reciting the capitals of the world in geography, we're going to make a map of the world, and you can see where they all are, and where the mountains are, and everything.
Je m'appelle Victoria Brown.
Je m'appelle Jane Hopkins.
Comment vous appelez-vous?
Je m'appelle Dorothy Milbrough. Why, what's this, Victoria?
Chrysanthemums, miss. From all of us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you all. Right. We'll carry on from where we left off yesterday. Let me see. Jane, you read Macbeth, and Polly, carry on with Macduff for a bit. Off you go, then. We'll start at Thou Losest Labour. That's you, Jane.
Thou losest labour. As easy mayst thou the entrenchment e'er with thy keen sword impress, as make me bleed. Let fall thy blade on vulnerable crests. I bear a charmed life, which must not yield to one of woman born.
To spare thy charms, and let the angel whom thou still hast served tell thee, Macduff was from his mother's womb untimely ripped.
What does that mean, miss?
Well,
Now... sit down there, Miss Milbrook. And just you listen to what Mr. Poynder has to say to you.
I feel that I'm voicing the opinion of us all in saying that if Miss Milbrook knew that this play, Macduff, or whatever its name is, contained such words as... well, such words as we're speaking of, she never ought to have given it to the children to read at all. Well, to my mind, it's a disgrace that schoolbooks can be printed with such words in them.
The fees come first and everything else comes afterwards. Didn't I tell you that the very first day you came here?
Yes.
Well, then it's the parents that pay the fees and it's the parents that you've got to think about. That's our rule here. I dare say all this messing about with plasticine and paper scraps that you go in for doesn't do the children any harm, but the parents don't want it and that's an end of it. There's just two subjects they do want their children taught. That's handwriting and arithmetic.
I'm to teach nothing but handwriting and arithmetic, is that it?
I've cleared out your classroom already.
I see.
She's taken away the world, miss. And the books. We've only got the English reader.
Very well. We'll use that.
Have some marmalade, if you like, Miss Milbrook.
Oh, thank you.
You've done very well this term. The children seem to like you. I suppose I may as well pay you your wages. And after that, I've got a little something I want to say to you. 12 weeks and 5 days. 12 weeks is near enough. No need to be particular to a day. That makes £6.
Thank you.
There you are, Miss Milbrook. And now, will you just leave this house as soon as you've finished your breakfast, please, at once? I shan't be wanting you any longer.
You won't be... you won't be wanting me any longer?
No. I'm getting in another teacher at the beginning of next term. What isn't to be expected is I'd keep you through the holidays all free for nothing, is it?
But you don't mean that you want me to leave, that you're dismissing me?
Of course I do. What else do you think I mean?
But you've given me no notice.
Notice? What's it got to do with you, whether I give you notice or not? You haven't got a written contract, have you?
No, I suppose not.
Well then, you'd better go upstairs and start packing your box. It's no good you're staying any longer, because I haven't got anything in for your dinner.
Miss Milborough live here. Telegram for her.
Yes, I am Miss Milborough.
Got to wait, case there's an answer. Any answer? Any answer?
No, thank you. Father wishes you return home immediately. Stop. Arriving shortly after this, stop. Praise him with the loud cymbal. Warburton. I'd better wait.
Hello, how are you? By Jove, how thin you've got. I can feel all your ribs. Where is this school of yours?
It's here.
Good. God, what a hole. Get in this taxi. Liverpool Street Station.
But what's happened? I don't understand. Why is it all right for me to go home all of a sudden?
Mrs. Semprel's sins have found her out. Her sins have found her out. The kind of thing you pious people would ascribe to the hand of Providence. Cast thy bread upon the waters and all that. She got herself into a nasty mess. An action for libel. And lost.
But what's all that got to do with the thing she made up about you and me?
Nothing whatever. But you're reinstated. All the hags who've been smacking their chops over you for months are saying, poor Dorothy, how shockingly that dreadful woman has treated her. Besides which, I'm back from my travels. Thank you. You look older. Yes, but you look, well, more completely grown up. Tougher. Something has changed in your face. You look, if you'll forgive the expression, as though the girl guide has been exorcised from you for good and all. I hope seven devils haven't entered you instead. I suppose, as a matter of fact, you must have had the very devil of a time.
Oh, beastly. Sometimes too beastly for words. Do you know that sometimes... those things don't really matter. I mean, things like having no money and not having enough to eat. Even when you're practically starving, it doesn't change anything inside you. And it's the changes inside you that matter.
Meaning?
Oh, things change in your mind. And then the whole world changes because you look at it differently. Things change in your mind. I've lost my faith, Mr. Warburton. That's what I mean. All of a sudden, a few months ago, everything that I believed until then, everything, seemed suddenly meaningless and silly. God, well, what I meant by God, immortal life, heaven and hell, everything. It had all gone. And it wasn't that I'd reasoned it out, it just happened to me. It was like when you're a child and one day, for no particular reason, you stop believing in fairies. I just couldn't go on believing it any longer.
You never did believe it.
But I did. Really, I did. I know you always thought I was just pretending because I was ashamed to own up, but I did believe.
Of course you didn't. Far too intelligent for that. You'd been brought up in these absurd beliefs, and you'd allowed yourself to go on thinking that you could still swallow them. You'd built yourself a pattern that was only possible for a believer, and naturally it was beginning to be a strain on you. That's why you lost your memory. That's why you went off.
It doesn't matter when it happened. The fact is that it has happened. Surely you must see how different everything is when all of a sudden the whole world is empty.
Empty? What do you mean? I call that perfectly scandalous from a girl of your age. It's not empty at all. It's a deuced sight too full. That's the trouble with it. We're here today and gone tomorrow, and we've no time to enjoy what we've got. Of course, I can see that things are going to be a little awkward for you when you get home. You're going to be, so to speak, a wolf in sheep's clothing. No faith. Parish work, mother's meetings, prayers with the dying. You're afraid you won't be able to keep it up, is that the trouble? I mean, do you think it's absolutely necessary to go back to it?
I don't see what else I can do unless I could get another job. I've really no alternative.
As a matter of fact, there's at least one other alternative that I could suggest to you. I am taking off my hat in order to let you see me at my very worst. Will you think well before you answer? I admit there are some very obvious objections, but Dorothy, will you marry me?
I can't. You know I can't.
Well, listen, I grant you, I'm not exactly an eligible young man.
I can't.
Let me put it to you in the form of a bargain. I need a wife to keep me in order. I'm sick of those women I've spent my life with, and I'm anxious to settle down. I'm 49. A bit late in the day, but better late than never. Besides, I need someone to look after the children. The bastards, you know. I don't expect you find me overwhelmingly attractive, but on the other hand, I'm very easy to get on with. Immoral people usually are, as a matter of fact. And I do love you, Dorothy. From your own point of view, the scheme would have certain advantages. Why should you spend the rest of your life delivering parish magazines and rubbing musty old women's legs with embrocation? You would be happier married, even to a husband with a bald head and a clouded past.
I...
Have you really considered what your future will be like if you don't marry me?
I don't know. I have to some extent.
Every year your life will be a little bleaker. Year after year. Winter and summer, you will bicycle from one reeking cottage to another to dole out pennies from the poor box. and say prayers you no longer believe in. And all the time, withering, drying up, growing more sour and more angular and more friendless. And therefore, please, Dorothy.
No.
If you want to pull the communication cord, you had better let me make sure that I have £5 in my pocketbook.
Somehow I feel that it's better for me to go on as before.
Exactly the same as before? The whole bill of fare, the girl guides, the mother's union, the band of hope, the companionship of marriage? Holy communion twice a week, chanting Gregorian plainsong.
Not plainsong. Father doesn't like it.
And you think that, except for your inner thoughts, your life will be precisely what it was before you lost your faith? There will be no change in your habits?
Well, perhaps I shall throw away my hat pin.
What?
So, here you are at last. Did you have a good journey? What made you take it into your head to run away like that?
I told you, Father. I lost my memory.
Well, when you've taken your bag upstairs, just bring your typewriter down here, would you? I want you to type my sermon.
Yes, Father. Mrs. J, baby, next month. Go and see her. Breakfast, bacon. Come on, Dorothy. No slacking, please. One more breastplate before dinner.
In A Clergyman's Daughter by George Orwell, adapted for radio by John Peacock, the part of Dorothy was played by Amanda Redman, Charles by Hugh Dixon, Ellen by Marion Diamond, Warburton by Glyn Grain, Victor by Charles Simpson, and Percy by Richard Pierce. John Salthouse played Nobby, Jane Whittenshaw, Flo, David Bannerman, Charlie, and Jilly Mears, Mrs. McGelligot. Deffy, Struan Roger. Miss Creevy, Francis Jeter. Poinder, Jeff Rawl. Jane, Maria Katsoulis. Sir Tom, Stephen Thorne. And Blythe, Neil Dudgeon. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Technical presentation by Ian Pratt, John Hunt, Karen Rose, and Tamsin Collison. Production assistant, Joanna Kyle. The play was directed by Celia DeWolfe.